Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm continuing the study that I've been doing on 1 John. And today we're going to look at 1 John 4, actually beginning at verse 4. I'm going to refer to some verses before that. 1 John 4 and verse 4 and a few verses afterward. The title of the message is Overcoming Antichrist. That may sound interesting to you, Overcoming Antichrist. And that's from 1 John 4. But last week I preached on testing the spirits. Let's just read these verses, 1 John 4 and verse 1. He says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. The spirits there are talking about preachers, claiming to preach by the Spirit of God or in the Spirit, and you test them by the Word of God. I dealt with that last week. If you didn't hear that message, listen to it on our website or order it. But he says in verse 2, Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, confessing that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not just repeating those words. It's not just a saying, like if these were magical words. But it's confessing the glorious person and the finished work of Christ as being our only way of salvation. And as I've said, this is the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God's grace, the gospel of forgiveness by the blood of Christ, righteousness in Him, the imputed righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. And seeing that Jesus Christ, who He is, God manifest in the flesh, and what He accomplished when He died on the cross as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer of God's people, His sheep. See, the Bible teaches in the gospel now, the gospel message, is that it's by God's grace conditioned on Christ, not conditioned on you or me, not even conditioned on our believing. Now, we must believe, but that's not the condition. Christ fulfilled the condition. The condition was perfection of the law and justice of God, satisfaction. Christ did that, and that ensures the gift of faith to all of God's elect, His people, the sheep. My sheep hear my voice, Christ said. They all come to me. And that's all that God gave Him, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So that's the gospel. And so he says in verse 3, And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. So those who don't preach the gospel, don't believe the gospel, they're not of God. And he says, and this is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, Antichrist, you know, there's a lot of things that people say about the Antichrist. The only time we see those words in the Bible is in the epistles of John. I think it's two or three times in 1 John and one time in 2 John. It's never referring to one specific person. It's never referring to a political figure. It's always referring to a spirit, which I believe is in a succession of preachers, leaders, who preach a false gospel that is against Christ. That's why the term Antichrist is used. That's against Christ. And every spirit that confesseth not, does not preach the gospel, is a spirit of Antichrist. And John says in verse 3, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Remember, John said that back in 1 John chapter 2, if you'll look with me there. He said, talking about in verse 18, 1 John 2, he said, little children, it is the last time, the last age. Now, that last age refers to the new covenant, the New Testament age in which we're living today. We've been living in that New Testament age since the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. And he says, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last time. And then he went on to talk about those who claimed to believe the gospel, but then left it, completely turned against it. They claimed to be disciples of Christ, lovers of Christ, and then they turned against Christ. And he says they never were saved to begin with. They didn't lose their salvation. They were never saved to begin with. Well, back over here in 1 John 4, when he's talking about testing the spirits, he tells them that when you test the spirits, try the spirits according to the Word of God, and you find that a man or whoever it is, a woman or a man, is not preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ crucified, risen from the dead, not just those words now, not just those historical facts, but what they mean in the gospel of God's grace to save His people from their sins, to justify them through the blood and righteousness of Christ. Anyone who's not preaching that, that is the spirit of Antichrist. But now look at verse, and it's already in the world. So look at verse 4. Now here's where I want to go. Are we all, do I have to be afraid that I can be deceived by Antichrist? Well, listen to what he says in verse 4. He says, talking to believers now, he says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. You've overcome the Antichrist, that spirit, those false preachers, false prophets. That's what Antichrist is, false preachers standing in pulpits preaching a false gospel of salvation conditioned on sinners, salvation by works or the wills of men. That's the Antichrist. And he says, you've overcome them. Now, how have we overcome them? Did I overcome them because I'm a better person? Well, no. I'm a sinner. Sinners saved by grace. Did I overcome them because I'm smarter? No. Absolutely not. Did I overcome them because I'm more dedicated, more sincere? Did I overcome them because I made a decision? No. Listen to how we've overcome them. You are of God, verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Bottom line, the God of my salvation is greater than Satan and his followers. Christ is the victory. It's not me. I'm not victorious because of anything I've done or decided to do or tried to do. I'm victorious because of what Christ did for me. He did it for me on the cross. He put away my sins. And that reveals that I'm one of God's elect, one of His sheep, because my sins are put away, and God will not charge me with my sins. My sins are not imputed to me. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Romans 8, I believe it's 33. It is God that justifieth. I cannot be condemned. I have a perfect righteousness that has been charged to me, imputed to me. I didn't produce it. Christ did by His obedience unto death. and His righteousness, the merit, the value of His work, the payment for all my sins, has been imputed to me, charged to my account. And I cannot be condemned. Why? Because it's Christ that died. I think this is Romans 8:34. Christ died, yea, rather, is risen again, seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for me. That's how I've overcome Antichrist. It's not by my works. It's not by my will. It's not by my anything. It's all by what Christ did. That's how you overcome the world. That's how you overcome the Antichrist. Because, verse 4, greater is He that is in you. Who is in us? Christ is in us by His Spirit and by His Word. And that's how we overcome the evil one. That's how we overcome Satan. Look over in Revelation chapter 12. In verse 9, he speaks of the great dragon. That's Satan. And it says here in verse 9, this is Revelation 12, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Now there, a lot of people, they go to passages like John 3:16, where it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's not talking about every individual in the world. We'll see in this that we're not of the world. And people say, well, that means we're not of some system or anything. We're not aligned with the people of the world who are deceived by Satan. Now let me make this clear too. Even God's elect start out life dead in trespasses and sins and deceived by Satan and the world. But they don't stay that way. Because at some point in time, whenever God is pleased to do this, He's going to send the Spirit to give them life and bring them to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. And they won't be deceived anymore. So that's the new birth. Well, this Satan, this serpent, the devil, which deceives the whole world, talking about all in the world who are deceived, all who are connected to this world, unbelievers, those who live in unbelief and die in unbelief, the non-elect, you could say. And this great dragon, he was cast out. Now, when was he cast out? He was cast out at the death of Christ. And he's bound for a while, but the Bible tells us in Revelation and other places that he's going to be loosed to deceive the whole world. And it says here in verse 9, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And verse 10 says, John is talking about the revelation he's receiving. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, His Messiah, His appointed Son. And he says, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Now, who is the accuser of the brethren? That's Satan. And what does he accuse us with? Sin. Sin, that we're sinners. And in reality, being sinners, now listen to me, we deserve nothing but death and hell. But it says here that the accuser of the brethren, Satan, he says, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So Satan accuses us how we're sinners and we deserve nothing but death and hell. That's right. So how do we defeat Satan? How do we overcome him and his Antichrist? Verse 11 of Revelation 13, 12, rather. And they overcame him. Listen to this. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And it says, by the word of their testimony. and they loved not their lives unto death. Well, what is the word of a believer's testimony? Well, we could state it several ways. And go back to 1 John 4 here. We overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. We plead the blood of Christ. Paul stated our testimony this way in Galatians 6 and verse 14. He said, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." What is the cross? It's the person and work of Christ. It's the death of Christ for the sins of his people. When Satan accuses me of being a sinner, which I am, his charges do not stick because my sins were imputed to Christ, charged to Christ. My sin debt was put upon Christ. He's my surety. And he went to the cross and paid that sin debt in full for me. So therefore, I'm not charged with any sin. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who can condemn us? It's Christ that died. Christ was made sin. The Father made him sin, to be sin. What does that mean? This is 2 Corinthians 5:21. It means that the Father charged or imputed or accounted the sin debt of his people to his Son, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, who did no sin. He was a substitute, and he was made sin in order that we, his elect, his sheep, might be made the righteousness of God in him. Our sins imputed to him, his righteousness to us. Now, that testimony in the gospel that we plead the blood and righteousness of Christ is how we overcome Satan. It's how we overcome Antichrist. Look back at verse 4 again. You are of God, 1 John 4:4, and little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Christ is greater. You see, my hope is not built upon me. My hope is not built upon what I do, or it's not even built upon my faith in the sense of my believing. My believing is the fruit of my hope. Did you know that? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's the key. Christ is greater. He's the impeccable Christ. He's the sovereign Lord of this universe, controlling all things, working all things after the counsel of his own will. You know, most people who call themselves Christian today, they really believe in a God of unfulfilled desire. God wants to do this, God wants to do that, but you won't let him or you won't cooperate. That's not the God of the Bible, my friend. The God of the Bible is the one who works all things after the counsel of his own will. He does as he pleases in the heavens and in the earth. He's not a failure. Christ cannot fail to save every sinner whom he loves. And those he does not love, he sends them to hell for their sins. That's what the Bible teaches. So look at verse 5. Now this is 1 John 4 and verse 5. They are of the world. They're tied to this world. They're not united to Christ. He says, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Back over in the book of John, chapter 15, the Lord was teaching his disciples about this very subject. And he says, this is verse 18 of John 15. He says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 19, he says, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You see, it's all conditioned on him. And these disciples, and every one of Christ's disciples since, we're in the world. I'm in this world. I'm not, you know, somebody said that somebody's so heavenly minded that you can't stand them on earth or something like that. We're in the world if we're believers, but we're not of it. This world is not our home. Our home is in glory with Christ, the heavenly Jerusalem. But if we were of the world, if we agreed with them, if we were arm in arm with them in their false religions and false gospels and false ways, they'd love us. And that's what he's saying over here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 5. He says, they're of the world, verse 5, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. They tell the world, they tell people what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. But Christ over in John 15, he said, you're not of the world. And he said, if you were of the world would love you. But it doesn't. Didn't love Christ. And what is it that the world hates about Christ and his people? It's the light of truth. The Bible teaches in John chapter 3 and verse 19 that this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness and hate the light because their deeds are evil. The light of the gospel, the light of Christ, exposes the world's deeds, all their religious efforts and all their works, as being evil. You see, they're evil because they're works of darkness. They're works of pride. They're works that deny God and deny His Christ. They're works that are motivated by legalism and mercenary promises of earned reward. Salvation is not by works, by grace. In Christ. Look back at 1 John 4 now. He says in verse 6 or verse 5, they are of the world, therefore they speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. Now who's the we there in verse 6? Believers, sinners saved by grace. Those who plead the blood of the Lamb. Those who look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. And it's all by the work of God. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. If a person that I preach to or I witness to truly knows God, he'll hear me and I'll hear him, because the word of God is our authority. And he said, he that is not of God heareth not us. Those who don't hear us don't believe the word of God. And hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So understand this. Go back to the first part of this. Believe not every spirit. Those who don't preach the gospel, those who don't preach the word of God, they have the spirit of error, not the spirit of truth. And so he says in 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now he's talking about that love which is from God, which is of God, that binds believers together in the true faith of God. He's not talking about love in general here. He's not talking about love of feeling, romance. He's not even talking about a general love of people. You know, the law says love your neighbor as yourself. And that is a love. But this is a special love that binds those who are sinners saved by grace together in the faith of the gospel, in the faith that God gives. We're together. And we stand together against the world, against the false spirits, against the Antichrist, against Satan. And we together plead the blood and righteousness of Christ as our only ground of salvation. And we don't delve into the things of this world in its religion, in its love. This is a love that is of God. This is love that no human being has by nature. You know, even lost people can love one another. They can love their children. They can love their country. But that's not this love. This is a love that enters into the heart of God's people in the new birth as the Holy Spirit spreads it abroad, causing us to realize we are a sinful people, that we deserve nothing but death and hell, and that our only hope is in Christ. This is the love of God for His people and the love of His people to God. He says in verse 8, He says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." In verse 9, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him." You see, God's love is never unfulfilled. God's love is in Christ. Outside of Christ, there's nothing but God's hatred, God's wrath. This love ensures that those whom He loves, the objects of that love, will live through Christ. And that's for believers. And He says in verse 10, here's the capstone of it. "Herein is love, not that we love God." You see, the love of God is not reactionary. The love of God is unconditional towards us. Now, there are conditions for God's love, but Christ met those. And so herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, what is that propitiation? It's the sin-bearing sacrifice that brings satisfaction. This is the truth. This is the love of God that overcomes Antichrist, overcomes Satan, overcomes the world, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That's what it's all about. It's the power, the glory, the goodness, the righteousness of Christ. He is the victor, and we are victorious in Him. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.